General Electric is going big into additive manufacturing, where you squeeze out parts from a nozzle instead of subtractively carving away at metal or plastic. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. The industrial conglomerate General Electric said today it will spend $1.4 billion on two European companies that do 3D printing. German company SLM and Arcam of Sweden both specialize in metal 3D printing for things like car manufacturing, aerospace, healthcare. Marketplace's Lewis Wallace has been following this news. Lewis, good morning.
Good morning.
That's a lot of money for 3D printers. There must be more than the novelty factor here.
Yeah, 3D printers are really not just about making cool shapes out of plastic anymore. GE actually already makes metal fuel nozzles using 3D printers, and the key is that the inside of the nozzle can be built with specialized features that would be impossible to construct any other way. The two companies are both in the business of printing metal, as you said. In the case of Arcam, it pioneered the use of electron beams to melt that metal.
Electron beams. Now, as we've reported, GE is a changing company. Where is GE Inc. going with this?
Well, GE has been known for all kinds of things, appliances, obviously, financial services. It was designated too big to fail by the government, and it's actually recently shed that designation by shrinking its financial arm. So it's really trying to streamline and focus on industry and aerospace. The company says the printers are all about efficiency in producing airplanes and other products. And moreover, it says it wants to be the leading, quote, digital industrial company. So this is really the future of industry overall. And GE has been doing its own research on high-tech manufacturing for years. It is competitive. Lockheed Martin and Airbus are just a couple of the other aerospace companies we know are investing in 3D printing.
Marketplace's Lewis Wallace, thank you. On Tuesdays, as the markets open, we check in with Julie Neiman, the analyst from the Heartland at Smith Moore & Company in St. Louis. She says there is a lot of money and financial decisions stuck in place waiting for the Federal Reserve to raise interest rates.
It's a liquidity problem, the whole focus here. After years of stock buybacks and mergers and acquisitions, because of cheap money, it caused everybody to stop. What happens if the Fed actually does raise rates? Then you'll have an alternative in the stock market. If the Fed actually does start raising rates, then we're going to see alternatives to stocks. People will actually buy bonds again as investments and not just safety parking places. All the high interest rate things like utility stock, high yield stocks, and REITs will all tank. So now the market's getting skittish. But the Fed, honestly, is going to sit on their hands until after the elections. They're not going to even raise rates a smidgen, and the bull really isn't dead at this point in the stock market.
Wall Street is divided about whether the Fed will raise rates sooner or later. ITT Technical Institute is closing down. The news today comes after the federal government said last month it was banning federal aid for new students there. Chronic mismanagement and questionable recruiting of students were the concerns. Most of the 8,000 employees at ITT Tech's 130 campuses will go. Remaining staff will be assigned to help students with their transcripts and finding placements at different schools. After decades of talking about telecommuting, finally managers have learned that it doesn't matter all that much where you do the work if you measure performance properly. The latest benefits survey from the Society for Human Resource Management finds that 60% of companies are offering telecommuting, working from home on an occasional or regular basis. That is three times the number of two decades ago. Marketplace's Mark Garrison reports.
One big reason companies are more enthusiastic about telecommuting is because employees demand it. Ellen Galinsky is president of the Families and Work Institute.
Retention, retention, retention. It's a way of keeping really good talent.
Companies also like the lower real estate bills when more folks are at home. Technology is another driver, says Evren Essen, author of the new benefits study.
In the past, if you worked from home, you might have to email yourself files and think about what you're going to work on the next day and plan.
Cloud computing makes that much easier. Research on telecommuting finds many benefits, but also some drawbacks. Stanford economist Nick Bloom's study found home workers were more satisfied and got a lot done.
13% more productive. So that's about a day a week extra, which was like a stunning amount.
But most of that bump was because the home workers put in more hours overall, a tendency other researchers also find. Blurred lines between home and work can be quite stressful if not managed well. So be careful what you wish for. I'm Mark Garrison for Marketplace.
About 100 years ago, states started paying for highways by taxing gasoline. But as cars get more fuel efficient and as plug-in vehicles gain popularity, gas tax revenue has slumped. Now California and other states are checking out a new approach, one that Oregon has been test driving for about a year here. From Jefferson Public Radio in Ashland, Oregon, Liam Moriarty has this story about paying taxes by the mile instead of the gallon.
I'm doing something this morning that most of us do pretty regularly, gassing up the car.
Morning. Morning. Fill her up regular.
Okay.
Thanks, appreciate it.
Yeah, here in Oregon, we still get our gas pumped by friendly attendants. Now, I drive a small Dodge Neon that gets close to 30 miles a gallon, so today the state is going to get less than $3 in gas tax from me. That's great for me, but not so great for Oregon's transportation budget. So, last year, Oregon was the first state to try out a new idea.
Where Oregonians pay for the miles they drive instead of the gallons they buy at the pump.
That's Tom Fuller with the Oregon Department of Transportation. The pay-by-the-mile pilot program, called Orego, has about 1,000 volunteer drivers. They plug a small device into their car's dashboard that tracks their mileage, then charges them a cent and a half per mile. Fuller says a pay-by-the-mile system is the fairest way to raise money for roads.
So somebody who drives an electric car, they pay no gas tax whatsoever, but yet they still use the roads just the same as somebody who drives a gas guzzler. So there needed to be a way of evening that out so the people that use the system pay for the system.
Orego volunteer Evan Burrows says he pays a little more tax than he would with the gas tax at the pump.
Yeah, I pay $1 a month, $2 a month, something like that. Very, very minimal.
The device that tracks mileage can give you data on acceleration, braking, and other aspects of your driving habits that affect fuel efficiency. It's kind of like having a Fitbit for your car. Burrows admits to being a bit of a data geek.
I'm a real happy customer.
And says he enjoys tracking that feedback. Some other drivers are uncomfortable with the Big Brother overtones of mileage tracking. But both of the companies that handle Orego's data collection point out that your information is protected by state law. A task force will make recommendations to the Oregon legislature in the fall. Some sort of mandatory system is likely, but a lot of political arm twisting may be needed to get trucking firms, agriculture, and other commercial players on board. In Ashland, Oregon, I'm Liam Moriarty for Marketplace.
And a story about killing for money in the Philippines. You go to marketplace.org, upper left of the screen, mentioned on the air will get you there. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? Don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.